Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at three. Number one.
Tucker with a base hit to right field. Astros have the lead 3-2. Going first to third is Bregman. Tucker at RBI double. 15 RBIs on the year for King Tuck.
Hey, that's how it's going right now. Hey, T, tell them how it started, baby. Let them hear how this thing right here started, baby.
Better numbers than Jordan with a minimum of 20 ABs. Jordan lost this one into the first row of the Crawford boxes. The big man hits one the other way for a home run, and the Astros in front 1-0.
Yeah, man. Since then, they are now up 3-2. JP France gave us 5. And Montero ran out there and had a nice little top of the sixth inning right now. So things are rocking and rolling with these Stros. Stay right where you at. We'll keep you updated as the day goes on. What you giggling at?
Oh, no. We'll keep you abreast out there. You know we always do.
Oh, listen at you. You just got to throw it in there, don't you?
Abreast. Yeah, I like that one, man. I like it.
Gosh, dang it. Why didn't I think of that one? Dang it, why didn't I think of that one? All right, we got some good news.
Hold on, I thought of something else right now.
Wait a minute. This wasn't the good news that I was talking about, but it just keeps coming. Oh, my.
Doobie with the solo shot, baby.
Oh, my. Mauricio Dubon with a solo shot. It's 4-2 Astros right now. By the way, this is a game that the Astros desperately needed to win, and I did say desperate. I mean, this is, forget about everything that happened before. If the Astros lose today to the Atlanta Braves, they will have gotten swept 3 of the first 6 series of the 2024 season. I think that right there in itself will even make the skin crawl of those folks up there in the mezzanine level that just tell you how long the season is and tell you not to worry. So this is one of them games where let's avoid another sweep. Let's avoid 3 of the first 6 series that we play in 2024 being sweeps. Let's keep this thing rolling. Astros up 4-2. All right, we got some good news on the Astros front. I'll start right now. Our guy Adam Spolane of SportsRadio610.com, he is on the radio here, obviously, a ton. You know Adam. You know Baseball Spo. He's our guy. He is down covering the game, obviously, and he's talking with Joe Espada. He said, Joe Espada said, Framber Valdez continues to play catch, and it's very possible that he returns on the Astros' upcoming road trip, which this is big, y'all, because the Astros typically haven't been real clear-cut in giving us injury updates and giving us updates on how long players are going to be out. It's always either very vague or it doesn't exist, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
This is big with Framber Valdez because I'll be honest, me as a fan, I drive home every night we leave here with no kind of report going, hey, it wouldn't surprise me if Framber Valdez ain't done for 2 months. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if this isn't one of them Jose Urquidy deals where, hey, he disappears and something was wrong with the shoulder or something was wrong with the elbow and he can't get back on the bump for a couple of months. God forbid it be season-ending kind of deal. So
not the case right now.
Not the case. I mean, this next road trip, there's I think they're going to, where is it, Washington? And then they go to Chicago to face the Cubs. So it's those two, three-game sets.
And then they go to Mexico City for two games against the Colorado Rockies. Those games are not here. That's Mexico City.
Do they come back here after that, or is it the following series? Is it directly after those, the road trip?
After Colorado, then they'll be back home against Cleveland. They got a pretty long homestand. Well, six games. They got Cleveland and Seattle for 6 days.
Gotcha. So it goes Washington, Chicago, Mexico.
Colorado.
Washington, Colorado. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Colorado's
eight games. The point is, they'll be on the road for eight games. And Framber Valdez is expected to return there, which to me is absolutely music to my ears, man. I mean, knowing something and knowing that he's going to be back sooner rather than later is absolutely beautiful. So the reinforcements are coming. Guys that are game changers for us are on their way back. And the big one, the big news here is Justin Verlander is set to start on Friday in Washington. So you expect to get Framber Valdez back before the Astros return home on this next road trip, and you're getting Verlander back. The plan is for him to start Friday in Washington. Here's Joe Espada, Astros manager, on Justin Verlander starting on Friday.
It's good to get him back on, get him back on the rotation, what he means to his club. Just to get him back on track, getting some, innings from him, build our rotation with the pieces that we need to move forward. It's exciting to have him back.
Verlander coming back is big for multiple reasons, guys. We know what he brings to the table at the plate. On the bump. Ver's going to be Ver. Whether it's what he was 2 years ago when he won the Cy Young or not, you know he's going to bring stability. You know he's going to bring ultimately a little bit of length. You know he's going to bring some maturity. And you know that's going to be a shot in the arm for the rest of this team, to me. And that's where I want to go with this is we've all talked to or blue in the face about how good Justin Verlander can be on the bump,
right,
and what he means to this rotation. We all know that. I think the X factor here is Verlander being on the road with this team, Verlander being in the clubhouse and in the dugout with this team, I think is a shot in the arm. Now, to what degree, I don't know, but I believe it's a shot in the arm to multiple guys on this bench and definitely stabilizes some things.
I mean, look, he didn't get the statistical line that he wanted in his rehab start with Corpus, but it's Corpus. He had some bad defense behind him. He endured a long inning. He threw 42 pitches. I think, if anything, that's probably good. Because ultimately he even said as much after that start that it's about building stamina, about building endurance, about being ready to throw in a Major League Baseball game. But Justin Verlander, if healthy, automatically, as you put it, gives you that shot in the arm. And this, to me, in my mind, Clint, shifts the scale back in favor of the Astros, so to speak, because there's a couple of guys that you weren't sure you could hang your hat on. One, certainly you weren't anticipating getting the start to the season that Renell Blanco's given you, but he's been a stopper. Christian Javier's been a stopper. You throw Justin Verlander into the mix, making his 2024 debut this weekend. There's three guys amongst a five-man rotation you've been employing that you've got to feel pretty good about. And then, as you mentioned, Framber's going to be on his way back. All of a sudden, the Astros again have options, have arms, and healthy ones, most importantly.
Big 3 at 3, number 2.
right, I think let's circle back to what's going on right now with the Astros game and give a little bit of an update. They're up 4-2, obviously, but Sean, I think the big thing here for the Astros, I'm going to combine these last night's game and today's game. I think this is major a step in the right direction. Let's put it that way. You get a quality start from Hunter Brown last night.
Yep.
And you get five innings of two-run baseball from J.P. France today. I think it's the biggest part of this for me is Hunter Brown, because if that guy can get right, then we can get back to having conversations about how good this guy can be and how he can help you in the starting rotation. I think that's a huge plus. But these two guys, boy, if you can get them to where they're giving you a little bit of length and you can lean on them, you can depend on them, the Astros are in a much better spot as Fromber and Verlander start to start to get back healthy and get back in the flow here in the starting rotation.
It's a great point about the starting pitching that you've got in the last couple of days. I know you'd like to get at least another inning out of J.P. France, but considering, again, the last start that he'd come off of where he got blasted to, you get five innings, a two-run ball from him today, kept the walks down, had some good stuff, threw 90 pitches, threw five, kept you in the ball game. Maybe one of the few times this season, I think by count, it's really the fourth, the Astros offense has kind of complemented the starting pitching they've actually gotten. That's huge. And let's not gloss over that the guy to come out and pitch the sixth inning, that middle relief guy, that's been very in flux as well. Can we tip our cap to Rafael Montero, who lowered his ERA to 180 today with a scoreless frame in the sixth? That guy's been pitching in some higher leverage situations. There haven't been many, but higher leverage situations this season than at any point in the second half of last year. They did not trust him. Even when they used him more, they were not in high leverage clutch type situations. Today, it's a good showing. I mean, he got a couple of tough hitters out in Ozuna and Arcia, guys that are tearing the cover off the ball to this point this season. So tip the cap to him as well.
Big three at three. Number three.
I don't know if you guys have seen this. Tyler, we talked a little bit about it yesterday with Ron, I think, but I am ridiculously fascinated with the Caitlin Clark situation, boys.
My fascination has grown, if I could put it that way.
Well, I think everybody's
I've been increasingly intrigued.
I think everybody has. Yeah. She was on with Pat McAfee today at some point. I think she's making her rounds in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Where
ESPN saw to it that she was only on some of the time. They went to commercial during one of her responses to a question.
Oh, did they really?
Yes. They just totally cut her off. So we're going to show a pizza commercial now.
It's an interesting dynamic. First of all, what caught my attention is once the ratings start to grow, the numbers start to grow to a certain extent. Like, I don't give a damn whether you like women's basketball or not. Like, you got to this at least got to pique your interest. The WNBA draft, I got this off Pat McAfee's show. The WNBA draft saw a 307% increase this year.
That's incredible.
I mean, I don't care where you start. Like, yeah. That is absolutely crazy. And Caitlin Clark obviously is the tip of that spear. I think the most fascinating thing to me is that, and I haven't been following the WNBA, admittedly. I don't know the history in terms of who talks trash and who doesn't. But it seems like some of the veterans, some of the old heads, some of the OGs in the WNBA have at least been vocal about Caitlin Clark and her ability to do what she did in the college level at the NBA, at the WNBA level. And she better look out, because it's great. There's only 12 franchises up there, and each I heard Caitlin talking about it, each franchise carries roughly 12 players. So I mean, there's 144 WNBA players. Like, it is. Not only the best of the best, I mean, it's a small group. Like, there's not that many people that get the opportunity, mm-hmm. right? So I just find it so fascinating that now the tip of the spear, because, look, there's several women that have grown the game, obviously, but the tip of the spear is Caitlin Clark. And now, all of a sudden, it seems like some OGs want to speak out against her ability to do what she's been doing at the pro level. It's interesting. It's fascinating to me.
The effect that she's had, you mean, so far? I mean, she hadn't done anything at the pro level yet, but you're talking about, like, collegiately, like what she's done there and to add to the intrigue.
I think it has a lot to do with her style of play. She's got a real Steph Curry style and shoots it from anywhere and you know, off the dribble is getting around girls and getting to the rack and just makes it look, to me, she makes it look more effortless than most women do. And she's getting a lot of credit for it. I think she's getting a lot of credit for the way she's moved the needle in the game. And I would think that everybody involved in the league would absolutely love it. And it seems like some of the OGs may not be as comforting and welcoming, but
that's BS though. 'Cause in about wanting the best for the game, then they need to reciprocate that with their support.
It's a fine line, right? Because you want that trash talk. You want people to be like, "Hey, don't bring that mess over here." Amen. But at the same time, the WNBA is in a unique spot where they are trying to grow something.
For that, Caitlin knows what she's doing. This is, I'm going to try to be as short as possible, but Caitlin, she's smart. She knows what she's doing. She knows the potential of her brand. It could be bigger than anybody has ever brought to women's professional basketball before. Quite literally, because of that small niche group of teams that exists in the WNBA right now. Because it's trying to, you know, fight and claw and keep that foot in the doorway and get their butts back in there for the first time in literally 25 years. I mean, not since Tina Thompson, Cheryl Swoops, that era in Comets basketball have I cared to follow WNBA. It just hasn't done it for me. It's always better when it's in your market. And when you have a person like Caitlin Clark, she doesn't need to be in your market. She's going to be playing in Indiana, but people in New York and in Houston and in LA and in Chicago, they're all going to care because she's doing something different, looks different, sounds different, plays different than anybody they've ever seen before, potentially. So I think it's huge. And the people that are talking about this game, they're doing it right. That girl, Shanae in Guke, the analyst for ESPN, L. Duncan, and that other girl that they had on there last week, that trio had awesome coverage. I actually watched it. Well, I'm an L. Duncan fan because I love her and she's hot.
You got to fight. You got to fight Ron Ugly for that, I think.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
think,
cool.
I think that's one. I think that's one taste. Of Ron's, isn't it? Am I supposed to put that out there, Tyler? Or no, or is that a secret?
No, I think he has. But I think Bajani's crush might have Ron beat.
Yeah, you know, I literally have something to say about L every single day.
Hey, I ain't hating on you, man. We appreciate beauty on this.
Honestly,
show.
You and I were talking about this the other day, Tyler. The coverage that they did, it was unbelievable. ESPN understands what they have in the palm of their hand right now with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese going to the WNBA. This is going to be something very, very cool to follow.
Well, the crazy thing, right, is you don't have to be a rocket scientist, man. I mean, she's moving the needle from a ratings number. Like, you just got to be willing to accept it and be willing to run with it. To circle back and put a bow on it, to me, it's fascinating, man, because you're trying to grow the game at a moment when it's growing faster than it ever has, and at the same time, the competitive juices get flowing, so people should be going, "Hey, wait a minute, Caitlin Clark ain't all that. She's supposed to come to the league. She's going to find out when she gets here." Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you want to embrace it because you're growing the game. I don't know. It's fascinating, and I'm telling you, I've become a huge fan over the last 6 weeks.
I am,
to be honest with you.
I want to follow it because I want them to prove people wrong. Ocho texts in, SB, as popular as the WNBA has been recently, the league still hasn't turned a profit in 27 years. It's being carried by the NBA, which owns 50% of it. I don't know if that's necessarily true. Maybe it is. I would presume Ocho, who follows basketball better than most people I know, would know. But I can tell you this. I think there's a statistic that I read last week that since 2019, so a five-year period, the NBA, the WNBA has seen a revenue increase of $150 million. Are you kidding me? So I don't know if they're turning a profit, but when more money's being generated with, as you say, like this small niche group of just 12 teams, and you add Angel Reese to that and Caitlin Clark in the same draft, holy crap. I mean, something really cool is happening, and they're going to buck the trend at some point.
Whatever percent the NBA is carrying is shrinking. when ratings are going up 307%.
Sure, and the NBA's its own problems with its men.
Yeah, so. No doubt, right? But, I mean, ultimately, however much assistance the WNBA needs, it's that is shrinking because of what's going on, the wave, the momentum, and it's been fun to watch, man. I'm in. I'm hook, line, and sinker in. I'm a Caitlin Clark fan, and I love watching it. So
look at you broadening your horizons.
Come on, man.
Within the last 2 weeks, I've done shows with you.
You have little girls, man.
But you've become a big wrestling fan, and now you're all in for the WNBA.
Yeah.
This is great.
I'm spreading my wings, man. Yeah. Spreading my wings, going to live a little bit before I get to 50. All right, the NFL draft is coming, y'all. Closer than you think, man. Houston has 2 second-round picks. I don't care about the rest of them. 2 second-round picks. What should they do with them, and why? Sean and I, Tyler, we'll break it down. That's next right here on Sports Radio 6.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Houston Texans are on the clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley's out. Sean Bajani is in. Hey, it's draft time, ladies and gentlemen. I know we've been talking about this draft season, if you will, which to me is a season to see. Hey, man, look, is there a couple of quarterbacks like maybe J.J. McCarthy that we can throw in there and really move from, let's say, number 6, see how high we can get him in a serious conversation? Jim Harbaugh makes a couple of comments. All right, let's really ride this J.J. McCarthy train. How about Caleb Williams? Well, he's painted his nails and he carries a pink phone. Let's talk about him and see if we can't get, have a couple of weeks worth of talking about, is he going to drop in the draft? And who else we got out there? Drake May, man, he's really raw, which I think that one's accurate. He's really raw. Is he going to move up or is he going to move down? Jaden Daniels, quarterback at LSU, won a Heisman, dual threat, man. This guy's he's got some freakish wheels, man. He really changes the game with his legs. I think he could go as high as number 1. He could take over the number 1 slot. Right, all this moving and shaking, and it looks like, for the most part, Caleb Williams has settled in as at the 1 spot, and depending on who you talk to, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, settle in at the 2-3 spot, which is I think pretty much how folks had it at the end of the season. Now, J.J. McCarthy, there could end up being some validity to that, and J.J. McCarthy could throw a kink in things here if somebody does get real jumpy and draft him. I think the sleeper here is you look at everybody's everybody's board as it pertains to quarterbacks, and quarterback on the board is Michael Penix Jr., mm-hmm. the kid out of Washington, and that is just based on his skill. That's nuts. I mean, he's the second best quarterback in this draft. I got Caleb Williams, then I got Michael Penix Jr. as number two. I think both of those guys. I think Penix Jr. actually transitions to the league better. I just don't think his ceiling is as high as Caleb Williams. But nonetheless, that season is here, y'all. It's come and gone, and the draft is right around the corner. And here in Houston, we hadn't talked a whole hell of a lot about the quarterbacks because we got one, and it's a beautiful thing, right? I mean, it takes away a good chunk of content for us to discuss.
God bless, brother.
Hey, God bless you, CJ Stroud. I'm glad you're here, brother. But there's no better feeling than knowing you have your franchise quarterback, and we have ours here in Houston, obviously. The Texans, they've got a draft party, right? They've had a draft party the last couple of years. They've had that draft party on Thursday night because they've had a handful of first-round draft picks, right? Not the case this year. Their Thursday, the first round of the draft, right? Remember, they used one of those draft picks when they traded up to get Will Anderson, I believe. And the other one this year, they had one. They traded down to get an extra second-round pick, which they ended up trading for Stephon Diggs. So the Texans right now have two second-round picks this year. They're picking number 42 overall. And they're picking number 59 overall. And that's the only two picks that I really care about right now, if I'm being completely honest with you. You got a team that won 10 games, which is the second round of the playoffs. They've got a lot. The big, critical, game-changing type pieces, they've got a lot of those in place.
Yep.
You're looking at a draft this year for me where you've got two premium picks in the second round. And you're really just looking for guys that can contribute and have a really, really bright future in terms of being a starter and developing, and you can be patient with those guys at this point in time. That's where I'm at with number 42 and number 59.
Can you get an NFL ready, as they say, player or players at 42 and 59 if you're the Texans? And so if that's the case, if you're the Texans, are you not looking at your two biggest holes right now that you couldn't fill with free agents?
To me, the never's a long time, because there was a time with the Texans where it's like, hey, you just draft best available, right? At the end of the day, I am not a big best available guy. I'm not a big blind draw, best available. I don't care, because I think it's crazy.
I think it's best like available right now, best, for position of need.
Agreed. It is. You are to me, the Texans are a franchise that are there. There are some franchises in this league that, damn it, can close their eyes and throw a dart and draft that guy. Mm-hmm. That's not – the Texans are a team that have been successful enough, have built this roster thoroughly enough, kudos to Nick Cassero and D'Amico Ryans, to where – in my opinion, it's best available of three, maybe four positions on the board when their number comes up. And I'm going to be honest with you, like, I don't know that there's that many guys that are in that mix. You know, I think when number 42 pops, you're taking the best of available at, I think, three to four positions. Where I'm going with all this, Sean, is it's simple for me. When you look at the Texans, they got two second-round picks, and damn it, it needs to be on the defensive side of the football. It needs to be D-line, interior D-line, linebacker, or corner in no particular order. I mean, if I wanted to put them in order, I would go corner first, corner, D-tackle, linebacker. Those three positions right there, from a draft perspective, they've got to find rotational help at the very least.
I love the fact that you said that, because if it is a corner, could you imagine the capital that you'd be building if you put a guy like Andrew Phillips, the corner out of Kentucky, with a C.J. Henderson and a Jeff Okuda in that cornerback room with Derek Stingley, and you say, go.
Yeah.
Like, the competition that creates, a former, you know, two former top five overall pick. I can't remember where C.J. Henderson went. I know Okuda was a top number three overall pick. I think Okuda was up there as well, maybe two or five. But nevertheless, like, you put those guys in a freaking room and you create that competition this year with this unit, with D'Amico Ryans coaching the defense. Are you kidding me? If it's a linebacker, I don't know if this guy's available, but I liked him for a long time. Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker A&M. For the Aggies.
Yeah.
If the fact that you said defensive line too, that's to me the biggest hole right now that I don't think we really believe was addressed outside of just getting journeyman kind of types in there.
Yep.
Dude, if you can get Tavondre Sweat from UT, holy smokes. Like, we talked about three dudes. I asked you a question during the break. Is it possible for the Texans to parlay their other draft capital this year and eke another second-round pick out of this deal?
Hey, I don't know if it's possible, but I damn sure like it. Old Riverboat Nick will be living up to what he's done the last few years.
That's Give me some of that.
Yeah, man, I'm here. I just think corner, linebacker, and defensive tackle. And as we shift from big-time free agents – like, I think the ad at the D-tackle position was a must with a big-time free agent. Now you've got quality depth at that position. I don't know that I'm as bullish on that needing to be the draft pick. But corner and linebacker and D-tackle, I will throw D-tackle in there. Corner, linebacker, D-tackle, those are the three positions I'm bullish on. That's where the Texans need to go. If they end up drafting a wide receiver or a running back or something like that with one of those two picks, I'm gonna go crazy, man. So, look, we got two picks this year. Yep. The party's going to be on Friday, not on Thursday, which for me is a good thing because we ain't got to work on Saturday. And the Texans got two picks, so we're going to have two reasons to party. We'll talk a lot more about that leading up. Number 42 and number 59. What do you want the Texans to do with those picks? All right. Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast. They got a promo running with Sean, and he's talking about how Joe Espada, how much he likes what Joe Espada has done with Jose Abreu and moving him down in the order, which Dusty Baker didn't do. And look, I think Sean's got a good point. And I think that is a good side of Joe Espada. I think there's a bigger problem, a better comparison of what Joe has to do next as it pertains to what Dusty did in the past. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 16.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron's out. Sean Bajani is in. Sean Bajani of Area 45. You know our nightly programming here. Boys rocking and rolling. He hangs with Patrick Creighton for several hours every night. And
gives 7 to 11, baby.
7 to 11, gives it back to the people. And also, sportsradio610.com does a lot of work. He's not just a guy. He's not just a radio guy, ladies and gentlemen. He's one of them.
I'm not a Jag. I'm like a Radio Jesse.
That's right. You are a Radio Jesse. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Now we know the meaning of the freaking word.
That's right. Do football a little bit of everything, Jesse. Man. Do a little bit of everything. You can't put what is the – golly, man.
Car before the horse?
No.
That was a shot out of left field. I was just – trying my best.
What is that? Nobody puts baby in the corner?
Nobody puts baby in a corner, yeah.
What movie is that?
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. There you go. No, yeah. Nobody Damn. Put nobody I was
You're
thinking
just
of
pulling them out all
Well,
over
I was
the
thinking
place.
About putting Swayze, you R.I.P. putting you in a box. Is more I wasn't thinking about putting baby in a corner, but nonetheless. Look, where Sean's, you know, the station here does a great job with all the different promos that run from all the different shows, and they're constantly rotating through. So I couldn't find this one, but I think folks will know what I'm talking about. Sean's been playing for a few days now, and Sean Pendergast made the point. He was ultimately applauding Joe Espada for moving Jose Abreu down in the lineup so early in the season, right?
Sorry, you know what we should do?
What's that?
I'll let you complete your thought. Go ahead. But we should get Pendergast to have to call in, and he should have and have his take it? Live. Yeah. Have your take live.
That thing. Well, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag right now, but the point was, and everybody's heard it 15 times or 15 million times because it's been a spot. But
come on, Sean.
Yeah, no, Sean's done a great job, Mom. It's not Sean's fault. The point is that Joe Espada moved Jose Abreu down in the order because he's been so bad, and Dusty Baker refused to do that last year. Kept him, I believe, in the four spot is what Sean said for forever, and Sean was basically just applauding Joe Espada, which I do as well. I think now it's two different years. I think year one of Abreu doing what he was doing, struggling, year one with the Astros, I don't know if it'd been a good idea to necessarily yank the rug out from underneath him, but we're looking at 2 years, a second year of these struggles now, and Abreu clearly is broken. So I think it'd be crazy for Joe Espada not to move him down the lineup at this point in time. But nonetheless, I appreciate what Joe Espada has done from an Abreu standpoint. I appreciate, now it hadn't worked out, but I appreciate the way that he handled the Josh Hader getting the ninth inning and Presley getting the eighth and Abreu getting the seventh or whatever the order that was. Really, it was just between the two, Presley and Hader, when he actually commented on it. I appreciated the clarity as well as the transparency there with that decision. But I'm going to tell you, man, when we're comparing Dusty and Joe Espada, the Astros team situation right now, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if people that say it's early. There is no way that the players in that clubhouse don't feel some level of pressure right now to get this thing right.
Definitely do.
That this is a struggle. It's not panic, but it is definitely a cause for concern and a cause for, hey, we got to get this thing right. And get back to doing things in the Astros fashion. And in comparing the two managers, that situation, what's going on with the Astros right now, keeping the entire clubhouse, keeping the entire roster grounded, easygoing, loose, playing Astro ball, that was in Dusty's wheelhouse.
Yeah, and we don't know how Joe handles the relationship aspect, the day in and day out. But we do know this because we've heard about it and talked about it and seen it usually from the outside looking in when Dusty was in Cincinnati or San Francisco or Chicago. But he's got away with players. He's been a calming influence. He can relate to them on their level, no matter his age, the player's age. That was, and we got a chance to see that and hear about it firsthand when he came to Houston. That is a big deal. When you're dealing with the same guys in that room, in that clubhouse, in that dugout for about 3 years running now, this core, Clint, the team hasn't changed very much.
Right.
Aside from maybe a handful of pieces year in and year out, Dusty's been able to do what you said Espada mentioned earlier today or this week or something like, hey, you know, this machine's already going. Like, I'm just here to kind of...
This train's on the track. He's got to keep it on the track.
Yeah, just trying rolling. To keep it on the track. Okay, that's cool to have that mentality, but Dusty knew what buttons to push more times than not.
Right.
And regardless of his detractors last season, he still coached their ass to an ALCS.
Well, look, you can't buck the success. I mean, but here's the deal with Dusty is, like, we knew kind of Dusty's stick from jump. We knew he was a player's manager because he's been doing it for so long. And when somebody does it that long, everybody learns their method to the madness, so to speak.
Yeah. I'm from a different generation.
So Dusty could come to the media and tell all of us, I mean, he could laugh while he's doing it, if we're being honest. And he's just, it's all smoke and mirrors, right? But we all know because we've heard from players, we've heard from other coaches, other managers. I mean, Dusty's a player's guy. He's never going to throw his players under the bus. He's always going to have their back. He's going to go. I mean, it's going to be a fault of his. He's going to risk looking silly purposely throughout the season to protect his players. That was Dusty's MO. But there was never a moment where I looked up and I was like, this clubhouse is going to be fragile, or this clubhouse is going to strain and stress too much. Because I always felt like, now, they may have, I don't know. I'm just saying I felt comfortable that Dusty was going to manage that really, really well.
Yeah. Look, what happens right now? when you're dealing with all the injuries and underperformance that the Astros are. It hit them last year. Right now, the injuries hit them a lot faster this year compared to last year. And so when that happens and you've got a guy that can just lighten the mood on the plane or in the bus or in the clubhouse, whatever the case may be, that can make all the difference in the world sometimes. And maybe Joe's trying his damnedest to do that. Maybe he's doing a great job and it's just not happening for him yet. I don't know that we necessarily need to be directly trying to compare, but rather just point out what is missing clearly this year that the Astros and Joe Espada are going to have to try and pivot and figure out.
My point is not, I mean, we're going to compare the two because they're both coaching have managed the Astros. But I don't expect Joe Espada to be Dusty Baker.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying, as a fan, I felt like Dusty was going to take care of that.
Yeah.
Right now, you worried about some of the decisions and I was overly ridiculously concerned, and I stand by it about what was going on in center field. You worry about some of those things, but my point is Dusty took care of business, and his stick with the media was to protect at all costs and almost be silly.
Yeah.
Right. Joe Espada, we don't know who he is. We have no reason to trust that he's going to handle the situation. He's been very transparent with the media in multiple situations that have involved players, right? So my point is this. This is a Joe Espada moment where I believe that this clubhouse is definitely more fragile than it's been in the past. And Joe Espada at some point in time is going to have to be the alpha in the room, be the manager, be the calming force that a manager's supposed to be. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in him doing it right now. This is Joe Espada after last night's game. This is after your team. Your team has been awful in the eighth and ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
Not just your pitchers, but your hitters have been awful. And we've heard multiple times Joe Espada kind of soft shoes everything when it comes to players. Listen to this. This is Joe Espada talking about basically what happened last night with this Lopez kid on the bump for the Atlanta Braves when the Braves didn't end up, but he shut the Astros out and kept them off the board and ultimately allowed Atlanta to run away with the game.
His changeup was really good, and then he threw some sliders that, you know, our history with him is just only being like one inning. He comes in throwing the fastball slider, but today he pitched. He changed speeds. He kept us off balance. We just couldn't do anything. We couldn't get anything, going.
I'm gonna tell you, man, as an Astros fan, I've heard enough of that already. It sounds like it's soft. It sounds like it's making excuses. At some point in time, a guy that's been very transparent with the media, right? At some point in time, he is going to have to be like, we just got to be better. I'm not saying he takes shots at one guy or the other specifically, but at some point, he's going to have to say, we've got to swing the bat better. We've got to get better at bats. We've got to be more clutch in critical situations. You're the freaking Astros, man. You got one of the best lineups in the business. You've been a model franchise. You've been the best franchise in baseball for 7-8 years. I mean, it's like at some point, Joe Espada, and I'm not saying that it has to be right now, but at some point, Joe's going to have to put his foot down and be a manager and set some level of standard and expectations instead of just – seems to me like it's soft and excuse making.
Maybe, but that's also in front of a microphone and a camera. And maybe he's got a little Gary Kubiak to him where, he's going to say, hey, it's on me, and it's going to be a little soft in front of everybody else.
But that's my point, though. He ain't been that guy, though, Sean. He ain't been that guy. When he had to make the decision with Hader and Presley, boom, right in front of the media, hard decision, communicated it, boom, this is what we did.
Yeah, said he had a conversation.
You can't all of a sudden not be that guy when it's time to put your foot in somebody's ass.
Yeah, but you're 20 games in. And I think we're learning about the guy that he is.
Fair,
and he's been a pretty patient guy in how he's handled Abreu just specifically, but also a very pretty impatient guy for Jake Meyers, whom the Astros, per Joe Espada and Dana Brown, said, that's our center fielder. He's going to be the guy day one, and he hits a 405-foot homer. And then the very next day, they pinch hit for his ass for John Singleton in the sixth inning. They have refused to let him even pass or fail in high leverage clutch situations. Is he playing center field today, by the way? No, Mauricio freaking Dubon is. Nothing against him, but for a guy who they wanted to say, hey, this is our center fielder, and we're going to let both him and Chaz, instead of them battle it out, we're putting them on the field at the same time. They haven't given him a chance. I don't, for that reason, and there's a lot more to this discussion, yeah, I don't necessarily know who Joe Espada is and how patient or impatient he really is.
I agree. I don't know who he is either, and that's what I'm talking about. But at some point in time, I like what he's done with Abreu. I like what he's done with Meyer. I like, even if it's wrong, I like the proactive, aggressive approach. At some point when he's asked a question about what the hell happened yesterday, it can't be about, well, Lopez, we hadn't seen him more than winning. It's got to be, no, we've got to be better. Mm. If we're going to get out of this hole, we've got to be better. And that I just I'm waiting to that to see Joe hear Joe Espada do that before I completely buy in. All right, nonetheless, that's Sean Bajani. I'm Clint Stern. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Yesterday, the Astros lost. We just heard Espada a little bit of it. I got a silver lining, though. Something did happen yesterday with the Astros that was absolutely huge moving forward for this season. If we're being honest, it happened again today in this game, regardless of how it turns out. We'll tell you what that is, and we'll discuss next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.